Welcome to the ABC edition of Daytime Confidential, brought to you by DaytimeConfidential.com. On today's show, we're discussing, could Robin Strasser be leaving One Life to Live? Dominic is Dante on General Hospital. And has the Who Killed Stewart storyline gone on too long on All My Children? All this and much more on today's show, so stay tuned. Reagan, welcome.
Hi.
Jamie, welcome.
Hello.
We have a lot to discuss, but probably the biggest news of the Friday/weekend was the possibility of Robin Strasser leaving. A couple weeks ago on the ABC episode, we talked about the fact that she had announced on her hotline that she had been offered a take it or leave it deal. Then this last week, Nelson Branco and the Suds Report had more details. She announced as well that on the hotline later on Friday evening that she has been told not to announce anything on the hotline, and they're waiting for someone to get back from vacation. Jamie, what do you think?
Well, I talked to Nelson, and he had spoken with Robin, and basically all the publicity has basically hopefully bought her a reprieve, because Brian Franz is on vacation. Reportedly, she was offered this take-it-or-leave-it deal, and she was, you know, it seemed like she was prepared to leave it, you know, at that, you know, on that day where she was going to announce it on her hotline. Nelson ran it in the Suds Report. Apparently, some people at ABC were like, maybe we need to revisit this, and asked her to just not say or do anything until Franz gets back. People have been asking me, Jamie, what do you think about this? What do you think about this? Because they know how I feel about people taking the pay cut. You know, what Robin said on her hotline is that she has taken significant pay cuts before, 63% when she came back. And you know what? I am usually one that's like, take the pay cut, the industry is dying, blah, blah, blah. But you know, if there is an inequitable amount of, like, if they're not, you know, if Michael Easton is making more than Robin Strasser, I'm not happy. I'm sorry. Because Brian Franz thinks he's popular, but no one else does. We know that Robin Strasser is popular. And it's like, I don't think, it's just ageist and it's just wrong to ask these people who have made these shows. I didn't want to start watching One Life to Live until the 2000s, but I've known Dorian Lord my whole life. I mean, who didn't know Dorian Lord? And it's like, it's so shameful to try to knock these people who have made these soaps down or make them quit, you know? And I think that's a lot of it. I think that's what a lot of it is. It's this passive aggressive way to make these people quit so that you can say that, oh, we didn't fire her. A part of me, you know, I do. I have mixed feelings, because like with Deirdre Hall, I would rather have known she got offered a pay cut and then refused. And, you know, not rather have known that, but it would have made it like, okay, I get it a little bit because the industry is dying. But the industry is dying, but I know that they're not asking these stars that everyone thinks is so important. The Steve Burtons and the Michael Eastons, they might be asked to be taking a pay cut, but I guarantee it ain't anything in the ballpark of 63%. It's like, and then we have Crystal Hunt on our screen 5 days a week. And, you know, I bet she's not getting newbie pay because she was a star on Guiding Light. It's just, this is what's the problem. And then this is what'll happen. You know, they'll get rid of Robin Strasser and then he'll pay that same money or for three or four people from God and Light or As the World Turns when it gets canceled. It's so stupid. It's like, why don't these people just – I talked to Roger Newcomb about this from We Love Soaps. We had a chat about it. Like, if these – you know, there's no if in my part. He said if, and I know Roger's a lot more hopeful than me. I see it for what it is. The soaps will be dead in 3 to 4 years. But since, for me, this is the dying days, you would think that each soap would just decide, okay, let's do an experiment. Let's give the fans the vets that they really want. Let's make sure we can afford the people that they really want on the shows and stop because none of these characters have broken out in the last couple of years. None of these characters that they think are going to break out are popular. The Ethan on GH or Crystal Hunt, these people that Frimes is salivating over and thinking is going to rebuild his shows around. It's not working, so why not give, you know, it's working at YNR a little. YNR's ratings are steadily improving, and they refocused on Jill and Kay and Victor and Ashley and Nikki, you know, and yeah, they've had their contract dramas too, but they've managed to keep, you know, Melody and Jess Walton. It's like, you know, people, if this is the last 2 to 3 years of One Life to Live, which it probably is, I think people would want to see what's going to play out with Vicky and Dorian as opposed to Crystal freaking Hunt. At GH, it's like Franz has the perfect recipe because he wants to do away with vets and Bob Guza doesn't want to write for vets. But Frank Valentini and Ron Carlovati value their vets. I mean, you see it every week. I mean, the stuff, Luke, you talked about you know, Dorian and Vicky and the dinner party. I mean, this man.
Oh, well, and we will be getting to that because that is.
They love their vets. And they, you know, Dorian, Robin Strasser talks about that she has a heroic figure fighting for her. I bet that's either Frank or Ron. You know, I bet that because they're lifelong fans of this soap and they care about, you know, say what people will about them. Yeah, we didn't like the rape man. So I know I didn't. But I do believe they care about the veterans and the history and the fabric of this soap, like no other producers. I'm going to be honest. I think they care more about the history than even Maria Arena Bell. And
so just to clarify one thing is, like, when we've discussed the stuff with Melody Thomas Scott, the stuff with Deidre Hall, Jess Walton, the contract negotiations going on, we've always maintained that if you're being offered a pay cut, you take it because it's a hard work out there for a pimp. But at CBS, supposedly these pay cuts were going to be going in across the board. Everybody's going to have to take one. Either you take it or you don't. So you're saying that because of the fact that it's more cherry-picked at ABC?
It's not even a thing about maintaining. I don't believe in maintaining. Or people try to comment stuff all the time. There's no maintaining. Or you take it as it is. Yes, I felt like Jess Walton should take the pay cut. Yes, I felt like Melody Scott should take a pay cut. This is the thing about those things. There has been no mention or clarification or reporting on how much. If I would have been told that Melody Thomas Scott was asked to take a 63% pay cut, I probably would feel a lot different. I mean, you know, True. It was just reported that she was asked to take a pay cut or go on recurring because they couldn't afford her very large guarantee. And I was like, take a pay cut. I don't know. If it's 63%, I can understand anybody, any of these vets walking over, you know. And then this is the thing. Robin is saying already that she's taken 63% in the past. So it's like, come on. I mean, what more can they cut her down to? I mean, you know, and I, you know what, people are going to – why the hell is Tony Geary making $9,000 an episode or whatever it is, $9,999,000, I think I read somewhere, you know, the top tier. Why the hell is he still being paid that, you know?
Reagan?
Why is Maurice Bernard being paid that kind of money? Steve Burton?
When One Life to Live is beating General Hospital in the ratings.
Yeah. I mean, look, I'm biased on Steve Burton because I do think a lot of the show revolves around him at this point, but I don't think Maurice Bernard or Tony Geary are worth a plum nickel, you know, at this point. And a plug nickel, whatever my grandma used to say. I mean, it's like, come on, you know, why is Ingo Rademacher still getting to go surf the seas 6 weeks out of the year when, you know, Tamara Braun couldn't get any outs? It's like, this is a sexist industry, an industry geared toward women that always values the men. Oh, I mean, and Michael Easton, you know, why is he on our screens every day? They were going to give him the SoapNet spinoff, I read, when they were thinking about doing a One Life to Live spinoff. It was going to be about John McBain doing a murder mystery for 13 episodes. I thought, woo, doggy, that's something I won't tune in for.
Reagan, Robin Strasser, if they don't end up being able to come to some sort of agreement, what does that mean for the show in terms of you as a viewer?
It's going to be a huge, huge hole. I don't see how there's any way they could write the character Dorian out and that it would make sense or not have huge backlash from the fans.
Well, and Friday's episode was probably my favorite episode. I mentioned this in the Performer of the Week, but it's my favorite episode since the 40th anniversary with Dorian, scenes with Mel. I mean, the ones on Friday was very like Scrooge and Tiny Tim-esque with her having done all these bad things and then needing help from people who she's hurt, and they all show up for Langston and Marco. It was literally some of the best soap I had watched this last week, and that's saying something, because on Young and the Restless, Trisha Cast is like a superhero over there. But it was
funny though. I have to say that I watched it, you know, after, you know, I had missed those last two episodes because I didn't think I was going to do ABC this week. When Luke told me about them, I went and watched them, and I loved it, but it was so, okay, it took me out of the moment at the end when that boy was like, I'm about to go up. He just announced.
Well, okay, okay.
He's about to go bang that girl.
Yeah. Okay, that part, like, prior to that part, okay, I'll give you that. I will give you that. The ending was a little bit upsetting.
Like, but I would have whooped that boy's ass if I was Dorian. You don't tell nobody you're going to go screw their daughter. I'm going to go put her legs over. Okay.
But, okay, and I'll agree with you. I'll agree with you with that about Mark Langston. But
jelly and canned fish in the foyer?
You have to admit, though, that when, like, Dorian mouthed the words thank you to Vicky, that was amazing stuff.
Oh, yeah, there was some amazing stuff.
I was talking about the Dorian aspect of it, the Marco and Langston stuff.
I loved it. I know what you mean. That was good. It was really good. But, yeah, that just threw me out of the moment. I'm like, okay.
It would have been better if they had said something along the lines, we're going to go find our own place to live or something, not necessarily go up to the bedroom closet.
I'm going to go upstairs.
My girlfriend's bedroom.
Lay her down, put on some Barry White. I mean, it was like, geez, you know, a room full of people. That girl should have slapped the shit out of him. Talk about disrespectful.
Earlier this spring, DC reported that One Life to Live was interested in Daniel Cosgrove going to the show. Now this week, more has come out about that interest. What do you think?
I think it would be a great casting move. It's probably going to be some fighting between Telenext and One Life to Live to keep those As the World Turns New York stars. I had heard that they wanted him, that they really wanted Bill and Lizzie to spin off to As the World Turns, but all indications are that Marcy Ryland is L.A. bound after the show wraps. For ABC fans, Marcy Ryland plays his love interest on that show. So they would either have to recast Lizzie, which probably wouldn't go over after the show dies, you know, and move him there. Or, you know, his other options are, you know, if these New York, because he's an actor that wants to stay in New York. He's already been on All My Children. He was Scott Chandler, which I
he was?
Be.
That was before I watched. Cool. I didn't know that.
Yeah. It wouldn't crush me if he reassumed that role. But
I want Marcy Ryland as Colby Chandler.
Well, she's going to L.A., so.
I know. You just dashed my hopes, but her as Colby Chandler would be perfect.
So he would be good as Joey. A lot of people on the blog were like, because, you know, they want, you know, Gina obviously back as, you know, Kelly Kramer. And it's like, well, Joey and Kelly were in love, and, like, they play brother and sister on Guiding Light. That's gross. And I pointed out in the comments, Wally Kurth and Jane Elliott were nasty adulterous lovers for years on Days of Our Lives. She bore him a child on Days. And then they went to GH and played mother and son very well. It's acting. They're not brother and sister in real life. Gina Tognoni and Daniel Cosgrove, as well as they played brothers and sisters on Guiding Light, are not brothers and sisters, people. Come on. Step away from the television.
Reagan, brace yourself, because I'm going to ask you about Stacy and the Marasco fiasco.
Oh, for the love of God.
What did you think? Gigi learned the truth, and after having slept with Rex, but she learned the truth.
I'd like it, God help me, because there's just so many parts of this storyline that I wasn't liking. But I really like Skylar in it, so I think that's what's keeping my attention. I still hate Stacy. I hate her. I'm just not one of these people that likes when they sit on these secrets forever. So I was all for Stacy going and telling Gigi the truth, moving this along a little bit. Now we'll see where they go from there. I kind of like Rex's plan, but
I want Skylar with Gigi. I just like them better.
I was shocked at that poll you put up that he was actually beating out Rex, because I thought there was a ton of Rex and Gigi fans that got a little gypped there that they were yanked apart so quickly.
After Rex punching Skylar, I wanted them also to end up as brothers.
So that had this really, I felt like, okay, I don't know if anyone, I'm just putting this out there, I'm going to say this. They don't look anything alike, Scott Clifton and Jean-Paul Lavoisier.
That they're brothers.
I had this feeling during their scene, like I was watching the two Darrens on Bewitched. Their acting style is so similar. It's almost like they're the same character. And, you know, Dylan on GH kind of used to remind me of Rex in a, you know, of course, Rex has always been the pretty boy. But it's like their acting, that manic acting style, that, and I like it. You know, this is the Rex I like. You know, the last 3 or 4 months he's just been blah because of this awful story. But, you know, I was like, they really need, and I hate this, you know, it's, again, I'm, you know, taking this case by case, because usually I hate instant siblings, but if they found out that whoever, you know, Santa Claus, the Grinch, Easter
Bunny, Cadbury
Bunny, whoever fathered Rex, it would be really cool if he also fathered Skylar.
I thought the same thing watching the episode.
Karen said that once on an ABC, the last ABC episode.
Oh, did she?
Yeah, that we did. She kind of mentioned it real briefly, how she was hoping that they were brothers. And when she said that, we were in the middle of a conversation. I was like, oh, yeah, that's a good idea. And then, the more and more, you watch the two of them in scenes.
Oh, they look like they're twins.
They better be brothers.
They look like they're, fraternal twins?
Yeah.
I mean, watching Friday's episode, when Rex punched him and then he goes, okay, that's the one you get, it was like, that's so what two brothers would say.
Like, I was thinking, okay, so here they're going to have Shane fake that he has a relapse to try and bust Stacy. I was like, let him have, this fake relapse and then find out, oh, wait, he really is relapsing, and then find out that Skylar's a match because he's really Rex's brother. A good storyline.
It would be. I think it would be great. That's what I was wondering. Was Skylar was never one of the first people who was tested the first time, right?
He wasn't in town.
Okay, well, that would work then, because if those boy,
at least not in town and part of that storyline. Like, I think it was all after
He was still in the Star and Cole stuff.
Yeah,
I'm totally up with those two being brothers. Can you imagine Roxy having another kid? Oh boy. Poor Skylar.
Who said he'd have to be Roxy's son? He would just need to be the dad's son.
Well, if they're twins. I was meaning if they were twins, but you're right. Let's move on to General Hospital. Dominic is Dante. What are you thinking, Reagan?
Here's my thing, and it's really no offense to Dominic Zoprogna, or however you say his name. I just don't see how you go from trying to get somebody as huge as Tom Pelfrey, or as huge as Tom is in the soap world, to this virtual no one. He's good, and Mark Tesher has been pretty much hitting it out of the park with his castings lately of the Corinthos kids. I'm not really sold that this is Olivia and Sonny's son. There's something about it. Sometimes they tend to cast people that are siblings or mother and son, and they have chemistry that comes across as almost inappropriate, and I felt that a little bit with some of the scenes with Dante and Olivia this week. I'm just not fully buying him as her son. What do you think of it, Jamie? Have you watched it?
I think he's a good actor, but he's too old for the part. He looks the same age as Lisa Locicero.
And that's the other thing, too. Yeah.
He looks the same age as Maurice Bernard, and soaps have done the whole let's do the flirt thing with people who later become siblings, but it is all shades of wrong to even have him in a scene where there's any type of romantic subtext between that little child playing Christina. Big old grown man, and he does not look, he looks too old.
In real life, him and Brandon Barash are the same age, but I could see Brandon Barash fitting that role as, you know, Sonny's son in it passing. This guy, it doesn't work. And I've said along, he just seems so old. And then we kind of got in this conversation of, you know, people playing younger than what they really are. And yeah, it works for certain actors because they can pass themselves off as being younger. It's just this guy, he actually looks older than what he really is to me. So it doesn't fit for me.
And I just don't know why Sonny needed another child anyway. Nope. I mean, I've never been on board with this from the moment I started hearing about this Dante. It's like, what's the point? You break up Sonny and Kate, who are actually popular. I like Lisa Locicero as Olivia, but you bring her on with this secret that she had. I would have rather Kate had had Sonny's child. I mean, it's like they broke up this really good couple, you know, to – I don't understand what they're doing. I mean, to me, the Claudia character has been a dismal failure from moment one. It's like, it seems like they're just orchestrating this to try to force people to like what they want them to like. And if you look at the ratings, it's not working. I mean, you know, they undid every couple that people liked. And it's not just about couples. ETT makes that point all the time, and she's right. It's not just about the couples. It is about, the writing has been bad, but you can't, and it, I would, okay, I'm not a J-Sam fan, but J-Sam is popular. If the three popular couples had been three couples I didn't particularly like, but that were still popular, like, you know, you just, it's bad soap opera to break up three couples at the same time, no matter what, and the writing's bad, and you try to force all these newbies, and you bring back Natalia Livingston as a new character no one likes. You've already got Sarah Brown as a new character with the same face as an old character. It's just bad soap opera. What is Jill
They're
Farenthal
diluting their brand.
Doing over there? Diluting it? Shit. They're just throwing it out. They just flushed it down
the
sewer.
But what do you think? They are. I mean, they've been heavily promoting the Scrubs coupling, and Spixie seems to be on the front. Those are two good.
Screams as desperation. Like, you know, Franz didn't want to put Spixie together forever. Now it's, look, we got Spixie. Please watch again.
And he's going to propose. I mean, it's like they were dragging their feet on it for so long. Now it's like full steam ahead at like 1,000 miles per hour. And oh, by the way, we're going to have him propose to her too. I mean,
the instincts, the GH used to have the best instincts of all the soaps of what would be hot, like Sonny, Brenda, Jax, and, you know, Sonny and Carly. And now they have no instincts. If they think people really want to see Ethan and Rebecca scheming, you know, this show has a history of brilliant schemers, Scotty and Lucy Coe, for God's sakes. Now we get these two yahoos. I mean, no, they are not. No one, and not even Nicholas, who is about as dumb as a box of rocks, would be conned by these two losers. I mean, it's just, this is bad, bad, bad soap opera. Thank God for Laura Wright, Drew Garrett, and, you know,
the Quartermains.
Yeah, and Maurice is winning me over with this again. He's slowly but surely, when, you know, this Sonny, Carly, and Michael, and the Quartermains is about, and yeah, I like Robin and Patrick and the murder mystery, but there's about 30% good with GH and 70% that's just awful.
And I sit there and I watch it, and there are these, like, moments of, like, oh, that's the GH of old. Like, a couple weeks ago when there was those Sonny and Jason scenes at Sonny's house, it's like, I think I tweeted, you know, God, there's, like, Steve Burton and Maurice Bernard of old. Like, that's what made me fall in love with them, is how they were acting right there in Sonny's living room. But it's so far and few between that you get those moments that it's just, it's not enough.
They write those two women. I mean, GH has, again, a great history of female rivalries. But they write, and I've said this before, I guess maybe it was the last time I was on ABC, but they write Claudia and Olivia's rivalry like they are two trashy gutter whores fighting over, you know, some biker in a bar. I mean, just, you should, bitch! I'm like, have you ever seen something as tasteless and disgusting? I mean, this is soaps. People want catty remarks and not just all out, you know, episode of the damn Housewives of Brooklyn. I mean, it's like, jeez.
Reagan, I've got to ask you, what's Jerry Jacks going to be up to when he returns? Any word on that?
I'm not 100% sure, to be honest with you. He's supposed to come back and kind of like help Jax, was the initial rumor, with like his blackmail of Claudia, but it doesn't look like that blackmail was all that big of a deal. I know that there's something going on with Sam. He had Sebastian Rochet tweeted that he was filming with her. I hear there's another explosion that Jerry may be behind, and somebody is presumed dead for 5 days. Some people are saying that that's going to be Sam, and that this may kick off, God help us, the J-Sam reunion. There was a rumor, and it's you know, put it in your fanfic file until it comes true, that when Jerry leaves this time, he's leaving for good, a.k.a. dead. However, Guza had said in an interview way back when that he'd never kill the character of Jerry Jack, so...
Well, we'll see what happens. Now, while we were gone for the 4th of July, word came out that Stuart Damon is headed to As the World Turns. It's awesome to see him working again, but I know that for As the World Turns fans on the blog and then the General Hospital fans, As the World Turns fans are feeling a little bit of casting fatigue while they're not seeing any of their actors used. But yeah. for General Hospital fans, this is great news because you'll get to see him acting again.
No, it's not.
Well, if they're fans of the actor and they want to see him.
No, yeah, but that doesn't work, Luke. It never works. People never follow people to other soaps. I mean, they just don't. No, GH fans are pissed off because if you look at the boards, no, but they're not happy. They're like, why the hell is he not on our show?
Well, you know, yes, there is that. I was just meaning that, like, there were some people who were saying...
People like you and I who watch all 8 soaps because we have no lives or, like, can be happy about stuff like that. But the average GH fan doesn't watch the PNG soaps. These people, like, it's the same way with Martha Byrne. People like us, critics, are like, woo, she's killing it. But GH fans are like, where is Jeannie Francis? You know,
that's true to some degree, but I have to back Luke up. There were a lot of posters that are so... upset with General Hospital right now that they were saying that they're going to check it out with Lynn Herring going to be there and Stuart Damon, and you got John Lindstrom there. There are a lot of old time GH fans that were saying that they were going to make the jump or at least to check it out.
Well, Reagan is our GH expert, and I will take her word for it. I guess I'm a cynic. I think that there will be people who will tune it in, and in about a week, they'll
go. Tune it back out.
Yeah. Maybe if As the World Turns was firing on all cylinders when this happens.
Well, not only that, but if you're a General Hospital viewer and you're used to seeing General Hospital on HD or even normal soap, you're going to be in for some culture shock.
Yeah, when you see Stuart Damon in an open field – with a 19-year-old intern following him around with a handy cam. I don't think it's going to bring back memories of the Quartermain Mansion. And
Let's talk about All My Children for a bit. I was talking with an All My Children viewer who is offline. They're not one of the online community. And they were saying, who killed Stuart? The murder mystery is being drug out so long, I'm sick of it, and I'm ready to turn off my TV. Now, that's for a non-online viewer. For those of us who are online, we've been thinking this for a while, or many of us have been thinking this for a while. Is it going on too long, Reagan?
Hell yes.
Okay, leave it at that then.
Is the killer Annie, or are they just making it too obvious? And because it just was, I haven't been following it like as closely. I saw a lot of that you know, night he was shot stuff and scenes here and there. And I think, you know, Melissa Claire Egan's a pretty good actress. I mean, she definitely plays crazy well, but I watch her and David Canary kiss and it just grosses me out.
Jamie, has the murder mystery went on too long? My personal side of it, I don't necessarily mind Annie and Adam in the Chandler Mansion. That part isn't bothering me. I'm just the whole Ryan Kendall, Zach fatigue of who's responsible, how are they going to uncover it? That part just is like grinding me into the ground.
I have never liked the character of Annie. I'm sick of her. The actress has gotten so much better. You know, she's really doing good work. It's like Chuck Pratt is an odd figure in that he has made actors that I really didn't really like before in terms of acting really shine. I mean, I was not that big of a fan of Chrishell Stouse prior to the the Amanda Jake storyline. Now I love her. Love, 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 love her. She is one of the main reasons to watch the show. Similar with Melissa Claire. They really have made her a good, viable villainess, but I just, this story is just so, I don't understand, and I don't understand the reasoning behind it. You know, the whole David Canary can't, supposedly couldn't work as much because of his health. I don't see him working any less.
Oh, in fact, I feel like he's working more.
Yeah, I don't understand why killing off a character. I would never have wanted them to kill Adam, but if they were trying to lessen his workload, what was the point of killing off Stuart, the last heart and soul of the show that no one even showed anymore? I don't think the one time every 3 months he was playing Stuart would have been stressing him out more. There would have been so many more easy ways to lessen his workload or what. I just don't understand. And the storyline is like really bad. I mean, it's so distasteful. A who killed someone story is usually, it works when it's a dastardly character, you know. Just reminding people that someone killed my
Stuart,
sweet Stuart, over and over again every day is just, it's just vulgar.
Well,
but I don't know. I mean, and then that other girl, that Randy. Oh, God.
You weren't very nice to her in the Performer of the Week.
The Battle of the Hair Models between her and Stephanie Gatchet playing dress up as the DA's wife. It's just bad. I mean,
I caught some of that Randy this week, too. She was not good.
Oh, my God. It was awful. It's like Stephanie Gatchet was better at a scene than somebody. Like, when she finished the guy off, I was like, woo. Stephanie Gatchet is like, I'm an actress now. Thanks.
Well, but as you pointed out on the Performer of the Week episode, it's really sad when the dead body is doing better acting than the person, than Randy.
The boy playing of the dead body gave a better performance than Denise Fassi. It's like, mother of God. I mean, Debbie Morgan is probably on the phone with her agent going, I came back for this shit.
Let's talk about something hypothetical for a moment. In a recent issue of ABC Soaps in Depth, they hinted at a possible David and Liza pairing. Now, when Liza first arrived in town, I think a lot of people were under the impression that Liza and Zach would be paired because of their first panty-snatching scenes.
The impression, yeah.
Yeah. but if – I mean, I was thinking about it after I read that, and it was like, I didn't like Liza with Zach per se. I mean, at least from the first scenes. But David and Liza might be interesting. What do you guys think, Reagan?
I think I'd like that Liza better with Adam than Annie. But I thought they were going to go with her and Tad.
Maybe they haven't made up their minds. I mean, that's what it comes down to. All My Children doesn't seem to be able to make up their minds. Now, of course, it's what it was posed in one of these things where could David and Liza be headed for romance or something like that. But it was just like, Jamie, what's your thoughts on it? Who should Liza be paired with, or does she need to be off our screen?
No, I'm starting to warm up to old Turbo. On paper, she and Vincent Irizarry seem like they'd be hot, but there's just so many plot-driven bullshit stories attached to this, like, you know, that being his baby with Amanda and all the faking, and now he's like has some kind of sense of something up with the baby. It's just, I mean, this show is just so depressing to even talk about. Like, I can't get inspired by any of that.
Oh, the only thing inspiring about that show is Jake and Amanda, literally the only thing.
Yeah, and, you know, Amanda's breaking my heart when she, you know, wants to hold her the baby and she doesn't know. I mean, that girl is really bringing it. Chrishell Stouse is a gem with that show. But the rest of it, I mean, Erica and Ryan, you know, going out there on that date. It's just not good. I'm sorry. I'm all for a good cougar storyline. I'm loving the cougar storyline on Bold the Beautiful. But I think of Erica as a mother figure to Ryan. I'm sorry. She was married to his stepfather. Or not married. Did they get married? She dated his stepfather. He's been married to her daughter. She's been like a mother to him. So this that story doesn't do anything for me but creep me out. You know, it just does. This show is just bad. I will defend GH. All My Children is so bad that it makes me sad that GH is low. I mean, a lot of people are kind of happy, bittersweetly, that GH is in the bottom because they've just not listened to the fans for so long. But GH still hadn't killed anybody with pancakes or you know, had lesbians falling in love with
But they
men.
Had the text message killer.
Ooh, I like that storyline. I love the text message killer. That was some good
but
stuff.
But here's the thing. Even though General Hospital, maybe it's because I've become immune to it or whatever, to the mob in some respects. I mean, still complain about the mob. But when you come back to it, there's still way more going
Anybody
on at General Hospital.
Sam McCall off of a
Well, I don't know. I watched General Hospital, and I think to myself, this isn't a half bad soap. I mean, in comparison,
it's not as good as Days.
I mean, Days is improving. So, I mean, you have Life
and
Live. Okay,
I said 30-70 earlier, but it's GH is not as bad as I've seen it before. It's not as bad as the last time Chuck Pratt was there. It, you know, they were doing all that wiggy stuff. But
well, no, like I would put it like this: One Life to Live and Young and the Restless are at the top. In the middle are Days of Our Lives in General Hospital, and everybody else is at the bottom. But that's just my opinion. Reagan, you had something that you wanted to share with the listeners.
If you read the spoiler blog on a daily basis, or lately, you've noticed I haven't gotten them up on a daily basis. It's just I've had some stuff going on, and I had mentioned in the blogs a couple of times that it would take me away from DC at times. Now it's going to take me away for a little bit longer. So I'm going to have like a little mini leave of absence from the blog and the podcast while I attend to this. And it's nothing for anybody to worry about. I will be A-okay. It's just something that I got to do. So I'm sure everybody will pick up my slack for me. And
my fingers are going to be numb to the bone by the time you get back.
I know Luke's going to go through some IM withdrawals, but
oh, most definitely. For those of you who don't know, Reagan and I are on instant messenger during the day, almost every day for the last what, 2 years.
Yeah.
We definitely are looking forward to your return, hopefully sometime in August if everything goes smoothly.
Yeah,
so
hopefully I'm leaning towards that first week of August, that everything should go back to normal, at least as much as normal can be in the soap opera world. So,
well, we will miss your spoilers. We will miss you on the podcast, but we cannot wait for your return.
Well, I may make a surprise appearance now and then on the blog, so don't.
Okay.
Don't start worrying that you're going to have to go through withdrawal for too long. I may get a little bored and have to pop in there and talk a little bit. I'm going to need to vent my daytime TV watching frustration.
You will be all caught up on all the soaps.
I will.
All of a sudden, no, it will not be General Hospital spoilers. It will be All My Children rant.
True. Very true.
Final thoughts, Jamie.
Well, my final thought is I hope Brian Frantz has the decency to do right by Robin Strasser. You know, what else can you say? I mean, it's just DC, it's this odd, you know, as someone growing up loving this industry, it's really a bittersweet thing that I'm finding a modicum of success covering its last days. And it's like, it's getting old. I mean, not DC isn't getting old, but it, you know, I know people probably think, you know, we look for bad stories, but it's like, you see how we act when One Life to Live is good. You see how we act when YNR, we think YNR is good, which we catch hell when we praise them. So it's either we're doom and gloomers or we're in people's pockets, which neither one are the case. But it is getting old that basically you can set your clock and, you know,
Every month,
someone is trying to strong arm one of the people that has made this industry what it is. You know, it's like, you know, except for the men,
especially on ABC, the women always take the hit.
Yeah, and well, you know, I guess P&G, we should give them credit since they get rid of their valued men too. That's why Jerry Verdorn's on One Life to Live. But you know, it's just, it would really be nice for the breaking news to be General Hospital is awesome again, instead of, you know, another superstar being shown no courtesy in negotiations when Steve Burton has everybody over there about to cry, wondering if he's going to resign his contract. It's like, show these people that made it possible for Steve Burton to have a job a little respect and a little consideration. And, you know, stop bringing on a bunch of people nobody cares about and use that money to pay the vets. You know, I'm not saying the vets shouldn't take a pay cut. I think they should take pay cuts because everyone should take a pay cut in daytime. Every soap, everyone behind the scenes, it's business. It's a business model, and the business model is currently failing. So that is the first thing you do. I mean, I want to know if Brian Franz is taking a pay cut. Les Moonves had to take a pay cut. So everyone needs to take pay cuts, but it needs to be. I mean, let's look realistically. Everyone's like, oh, these soap stars make so much money. You live like you spend. I know I do. Like, I make much more than I made right out of college, and I still live paycheck to paycheck half the time. It's like, if my boss came in tomorrow and said, yeah, you're going to get a 63% pay cut, I couldn't survive off of that. So we don't know. These people live in New York and L.A., and they've lived there for years. They have expenses. It's not just as cut and dry. It's a rough thing to talk about because you look at that show, and I can't imagine. And I've only watched One Life to Live for 5 years, and I can't really imagine. And Dorian's not one of my favorite characters, I'm going to be honest. I mean, I like Dorian, but it's not.
You already have a wishful casting up for her.
I do that for everybody.
I know. I saw that thing. It's like, oh, you're throwing my Ann Stewart under the bus.
I did it for Melody Thomas Scott, and I've been watching her for 30 years. So I do it for everybody. But what I'm saying is, I like her. Like, I like, just like Luke said, this last week I loved her. I love those quiet character moments. I don't like all the, I'm not a fan of over the top stuff. So, like, I like the quiet character moments, and she was really impressive, and she's really impressive when she does that. But there's no denying that this woman is iconic and should be valued. So, I just hope they start valuing the vets, because the industry is going to die. It's dying, it's dying, it's dying. And in the last days of soaps, I would much rather see the people that each soap fans really love than, you know, Crystal Hunt walking around in her panties.
And you don't want to be in a situation like Guiding Light where they try and bring these people back and it's
I mean, I could look at my crystal blog. And you know,
a year and a half from now, when it's the last ditch effort,
trying to run and get everybody back, you know, yeah.
Reagan.
And it's like, what's the point then? Who cares?
Reagan, final thought.
I just hope, as a whole, ABC Daytime takes a long, hard look at what's working and what's not, and who they value and who they don't, and really just takes that long, hard look and figures out, you know, this is what we're doing wrong. And I know that that's like a fan's like dream for that, something like that to happen, because they just, for whatever reason, aren't and won't. And I said it in the blog, it's like GH almost, I feel like, needs like a complete overhaul. And we know realistically it's not going to happen. I mean, even if they brought in a new producer and writer, it's still going to take time and to unwind what's been wound up and to work that new kind of regime in. But it's just, pay attention to the little things and pay attention to the fans and really just take a long, hard look at what you're doing as a network, because you're not helping yourselves. One Life to Live is great, and you're about to, you know, put this big hole in it if you're really devaluing Robin Strasser that way.
My final thought is, I'm looking forward to your return, Reagan. We will miss you. Well, we would encourage you to send your comments to podcast@daytimeconfidential.com. Comment on this episode at daytimeconfidential.com. We thank you for listening. Until next time, so long.
Bye.
Bye.